everyone. I'm Amin Ibrahim.
And this is Rachel Lam.
And we're your hosts for the last show of the summer.
We were also your hosts 2 weeks ago. In that podcast,
we may have promised that we'd be back the following week.
And we weren't.
Because of something that was out of our control. I unfortunately had pneumonia.
She did. I was pretty worried. But Amina is back now, and today is our last day of Radioactive.
Radioactive is a summer program here at KUOW.
94.9.
Where 8 high school students have the opportunity to produce daily podcasts.
Learning the tools to create them along the way. The last 6 weeks have been stressful.
But I've loved them. I've enjoyed it a lot.
We've made a lot of memories, good ones and bad ones.
Pneumonia.
Most of our bad ones were out of our control.
Which fits in today's theme perfectly.
Our theme of the day is...
Moments! Moments where things totally happen out of your control.
Whether it's something small...
Like being stuck in traffic or something major.
Something that changes your whole life through no fault of your own. Our first story features someone whose entire life was shaped by where she was born.
There are about 12 million undocumented immigrants in the United States.
And nearly 3 million of those people are under the age of 24.
Today we zoom in on one of those young people and her attempts to give back to the undocumented community while pursuing her own dreams.
Radioactive's Carlos Nieto has the story.
Why am I going? That's Alejandra. She's a sophomore at the University of Washington, Bothell. For quite some time now, she's been helping other undocumented students get through the college process. She tells them about scholarships and what they can do after high school.
So usually what I first do is tell them my story in order for them to see that I am confident about who I am and about, you know, this label that's put on me and that I accept it, but also empower myself through it so that they can see that and that they can come to me to do it.
The story she's talking about is her story of coming to the United States. But why is this 18-year-old so bent on helping others so much? Well, the reason is because she's been through it. She knows how hard it can be for undocumented students to make it through the education system. She believes she was the only undocumented student in her high school classes.
Because the other two that were dropped out, so I was alone. And nobody knew how to help me because they never actually had a student who wanted to go to college. Someone who didn't give up.
Before, Alejandra used to live a comfortable lifestyle. Her parents college educated and working as accountants. Since she was little, her dad always told her that she would go to the university he went to. But all that changed when Alejandra and her mom moved from Guatemala to the United States. She was 12. And ever since, Alejandra has lived life as an undocumented immigrant. Life in the United States hasn't been easy, though. Alejandra's mom's higher education, though impressive in Guatemala, doesn't count for anything in the United States. Her mom has no social security number. She has no legal right to work, so she's a nanny full-time. Alejandra wants more for herself and for her family. She knows that it's really important to get an education.
And I not only want to do an undergrad, you know, I want to go into a master's and maybe hopefully even a PhD.
And once she gets that education, she wants to be able to teach Latin American studies.
And I actually want to be that person because I feel like in order to actually know more in depth about, you know, Latino history, you have to be Latino yourself because you know what Latinos go through. So that's what I want to do with my education.
But paying for that education is a struggle. Alejandra doesn't have a social security number, which you need to apply for federally funded aid. Without that money, the idea of college that she had heard about growing up started to become just that, an idea. Alejandra had no choice but to apply for privately funded scholarships, a lot of them.
$1,000 each year for 2 years.
But some scholarships are really competitive. Alejandra would spend hours working on her computer applying for local and statewide scholarships.
$2,000 each year for 4 years. The Seattle First Hill Lions Club Scholarship for $1,500. The Dottie Ellie Scholarship for $5,000.
She was relying on something as shaky as scholarships to fund her tuition, and she was constantly getting rejected. She was emotionally exhausted. As Alejandra was finishing up her last year in high school, she still didn't have the money for her first quarter, and her dream seemed impossible.
And one day, I just went to my mom's bed, and I started crying with my mom. And I was like, what if I can't afford it? What's going to happen?
But she didn't give up. Today, she's received 13 scholarships and can pay through her junior year in college. Her love of education and giving back keeps her busy with undocumented students, like planning a conference for undocumented students about college, compiling a scholarship portfolio for undocumented students, or just sharing her story in hopes of other students sharing theirs.
So I actually prefer for them to come to me and tell me. That's why I like to share my story. So one, they know that I not only am, but also they know that I am in college and I can actually help them get there because I've been through the process.
Alejandra enters her second year at UW Bothell this fall, pursuing her dreams while helping others pursue theirs. Things are really looking up for Alejandra. She's even been able to get a legal job for the first time. She's a teaching assistant at a program for incoming ninth graders at Cleveland High School.
So the job I have now, I couldn't apply to a year ago. I was one of the people who they wanted. They said, you know, I would have offered you a job, but, you know, there's no other way I can pay you.
She was able to get the new job because of DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, which allows undocumented youth to apply for a work permit. It also means she won't be deported. Even though she has DACA, her future is still uncertain. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. DACA is an executive order, and if someone else were to be president, they could change it. She feels like the situation for undocumented immigrants is getting better. She knows immigration reform is stuck in Congress, but she's sure it's coming.
It will take a while, just like everything else. But it's getting better, and hopefully it doesn't get so bad.
For Alejandra, things are already better than what she had hoped for. For Radioactive, this is Carlos Nieto.
I thought applying to college would be hard, but she had it much harder.
And everyone has had some sort of trouble in their life,
big or small.
So we decided to bring in fellow Radioactivians.
I'm Carlos Nieto, and I was with Isaac Noren on the Tuesday podcast. One time I had my hands in my pockets while I was walking down Broadway, and I tripped, and I couldn't catch myself, so I was a penguin waddling.
I'm Kendra Hanna, and I was on the Thursday podcast. Middle school, man, just middle school. That was awful.
I'm Maddie Eubank, and I was on the Wednesday podcast for the summer session. Yes, this morning I got caught at the locks. I uttered some things that cannot be repeated. They aren't even words, actually.
Yeah. I'm Ian. I did the Thursday/Friday podcasts because once it was Friday. As Kendra said, middle school, I'm going to pick a specific moment in middle school. And that was eighth grade graduation, and I was giving the graduation speech. So one, it was like 102 degrees out. Like, it was that day that like set the record for the past decade or whatever. Two, I was really nervous. Three, I was wearing a blue polyester shirt, which is like the hottest shirt you can wear and shows sweat the most. And so my entire like sides of my body were like super sweaty as I went up to give this speech, and I had to go up there for like 5 minutes and give the same speech, and I knew nobody was listening because they were all just like, oh man, that sucks.
I'm Shrikar. I'm co-host with Maddie on the Wednesday podcast.
I was going to class, and this teacher was walking by me, and I was drinking Starbucks, like one of my frappuccinos that I was testing out.
I think we need to explain a little bit.
We do.
Okay, so Shrikar has this weird thing where he buys an excessive amount of frappuccinos and orders the flavor slightly different every time, trying to get it to taste like Twix.
Thank you so much, Kendra.
Otherwise, our audience would be at a loss.
They would. They would be at a loss.
Nice. They would.
You didn't know.
Utilization of theme.
Anyway, so I was walking down, and my friend was next to me. He's like, oh, can I have a sip? I'm like, sure, whatever. And then I give him the Starbucks, and his elbow hits the teacher, and he was taking the Starbucks with that hand. So I guess his elbow kind of like buckled in, and the Starbucks goes all over this woman's blouse. And it was the one with the Java chips.
Like, yeah. where do you go from there after that? It's like, now I'm having chocolate chips.
Well, from there, I did change schools, so.
Was it as a direct result of that?
Probably.
Somewhere more open to Shrikar's Frappuccino experimentation.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The only one missing from the team of summer 2013 is Isaac Noren.
We miss you, Isaac!
Miss you, Isaac!
Ginny, do you have a moment when you were at a loss? Things were completely, like a hurricane, out of your control?
Oh, sometimes the summer has felt a little bit like a hurricane. I didn't know what to do when Amina and a couple other people were getting sick, because I knew you guys wanted to be here, but I also knew it was best for you not to be here. And your illness was completely out of my control.
And mine. And how about you, Leela?
A moment when I was at a loss is probably earlier this spring when I found out that my friend Matthew, who I'd known since second grade, was getting married right in the middle of the summer workshop, and it was on a Sunday night, and it was really far away.
So, Anne Kane, what was the moment when you were at a loss?
It was probably, like, last week. So I came to the workshop, like, halfway through because I was in Barbados, and so I came back. I was still kind of in vacation mode, but I was, you know, I still had to come into work, and I realized halfway through that I was supposed to plan your listening party, and I had not done anything for it. And I was like, oh, no. So I took that day, and I, like, made out my list of everything, and it was all okay, but there was a moment there where I was like, I screwed it up, and they're not going to have a listening party. But I made it work, so you will have a listening party.
Tim Gunn, make it work.
Thank you.
Listening rager.
It's getting crowded in this booth. Moving on, your feature story was about a girl that was at a loss, wasn't it, Amina?
That is true. This upcoming story is my feature story about a girl named Hannah Billen, where fate deals Hannah an unexpected hand.
Hannah is an adventurous 15-year-old, but she deals with something not every teen has to. My co-host, Amina Ibrahim, has more.
Hannah Billen has an energetic vibe to her. She has an eye for fashion. She loves camping, hiking, and rock climbing. She rock climbs about once a week. However, Hannah wasn't always able to climb.
When I was really sick, I remember not going to rock climbing for like 6 months because I would get halfway up the wall and my stomach would hurt so much that I would just have to come right back down.
Hannah's stomach pain was so intense, she couldn't even get through school.
And all of a sudden, I would just be, like, hunched over in the back of class, like, with this, like, horrible look on my face, and everyone would be like, oh my gosh, is Hannah okay? She's dying.
Hannah wasn't dying. She had a disease called ulcerative colitis. When she was 13 years old, she started to lose a lot of weight, roughly 20 pounds in a few months.
One of my friends was really worried about me because she thought that I was anorexic and that I wasn't eating, so I told her, I said, you know, I am eating. I don't know why this is happening. I'm just really sick. At that point, I was not diagnosed yet, so I didn't know what was going on. And I was just really lucky to have friends and family that supported me so much and really good doctors who eventually figured it all out.
Ulcerative colitis is an autoimmune disease that attacks your colon and causes ulcers. Hannah had to get 2 colonoscopies to get diagnosed. She points to a picture of her colon and laughs, and she says, it looks like a whole bunch of squiggly little lines.
It looks like you're looking into, like, a tunnel, a pink, squishy, wet tunnel. A normal person's colon is a light pink color, and it is not, there are no crazy bumps and red inflammation everywhere like there are in mine.
This disease changed everything for Hannah. She gets flares, which is when she gets all her symptoms. The symptoms are weight loss, stomach pain, bathroom urgency, and internal bleeding. And as Hannah put it, a lot of not fun stuff. She can't even eat certain foods.
I can't have caffeine or high fructose corn syrup, and if I eat too much of it, it could possibly trigger a flare. So if I'm camping and everyone is having s'mores, I usually can't have s'mores, and I have to just kind of sit there and hang out while everyone else gets to eat s'mores.
Hannah struggles to keep her symptoms under control. She only had 1 flare, but it lasted for 6 months. She tried many medications, but they weren't working. She even considered removing her colon. It was a long, dreadful 6 months. Finally, she found the right medication. Now Hannah gets monthly IV infusions that last about 3 hours. She also takes the type of medicine cancer patients use. With all of this, Hannah is finally able to live a somewhat normal life.
I could still get together with my friends, and they just had to understand that sometimes I'm going to be in pain and stuff. I can still go hiking and backpacking and camping, and I can still go out and do pretty much whatever I want to do.
Even though she has this illness, Hannah still has hopes and dreams. Hannah wants to become a preschool teacher someday. She understands that in order to take care of other people, she has to take care of herself first.
So if I was a preschool teacher and suddenly I had a flare, there would be a bunch of cute little kids who all of a sudden didn't have a preschool teacher for a while. So that's something that I'm definitely going to have to be very aware of if I do end up being a teacher, because You can't just let people down like that.
Hannah also has to worry about her disease when she's deciding where to live and where she wants to go to college. Unlike other people, not only does she have to worry about finding the right campus and program, but she also has to worry about finding the right doctor.
I could never leave like civilization and leave places where there's hospitals and doctors for very long. I couldn't just go off and live in the forest with the woodland creatures because I wouldn't have my medications and I would get really sick. So that's kind of scary. It's just like it's always there. It's never completely gone, and that's what kind of sucks about having to take meds every day is you're reminded every single day, yes, I do have this disease. Yes, I am going to be dealing this for the rest of my life.
None of this is stopping Hannah. She still rock climbs. She loves it. She says that now she finishes the route, she feels incredible. She finished it even though she had colitis. Hannah feels strong and proud, like, wow, my body just did that. Hannah will always fight and rejoice to the top.
Everyone has something. Like, it might not be a disease, it might not be a health issue, but maybe someone in your family does. Maybe you're just, like, struggling with something emotionally. Everyone has some kind of problem that they're dealing with, and mine just happens to be ulcerative colitis.
For Radioactive, this is Amin Ibrahim. But you gotta keep your head up, oh, and you can let your head down, hey. You gotta keep your head up, oh, and you can let your head down, hey. I know it's hard, no, it's hard to remember sometimes, but you gotta keep your head up, oh.
That's true that everyone has a problem statement, no matter how big or small it is.
Yeah, and since the last show, we decided to share our favorite memories.
Shall we just go around in a circle?
Let's do it.
Okay, Kendra.
Okay, my favorite moment was when we went to go get falafels. And Shrikar asked the falafel man, what is a pita burger? And the guy goes, you take a burger and you put it in a pita. And Shrikar was so pissed off at the falafel man. It was just like, freaking falafel man all day long. It was a freaking falafel man. I hate the falafel man. So that was really funny.
I guess my favorite moment was all the mac and cheese and burritos. Like, I told Carlos that the burritos were dope, and he went out and put, like, he microwaved the burrito, put, like, a bunch of sriracha in it, you know, the good sauce, and then these chips and, like, salsa, and he mixed it all together, and he all ate it, and you could hear, like, the crunch from, like, halfway around the room because of the we have a nice, like, workspace, and I think that was the best part. That was my best memory. Didn't Carlos he, eating burritos.
Didn't he put it on, like, a bed of, like, Cheez-Its?
Yeah, it was awesome.
How about you, Ian?
Okay, well, I didn't get invited to any of these falafel outings. They all left without me. So thanks, guys. Honestly, my favorite memory was when we were listening to the last podcast, and Shrikar, like, was talking about, like, people getting married or something, and he's like, you know, it's not enough for people to be like, we're going to be through the hard times for better or for worse. You gotta be blatant. You got to say, we're going to grow fat together. It's just like, first of all, that was like hilarious. But second of all, I had no idea where it came from.
Okay. One of my favorite memories was when I recorded Batman with Carlos. Like, I think there were like tears coming out of my eyes, like in the booth, like just a little bit. It was so good.
My favorite memory was watching Shrikar watching me eat a burrito. It was such a magical moment. Like, I feel like we really connected after that.
Hey, we did talk more. That was true.
Like, I'm going to add you on Facebook.
You know what was one of my favorite moments?
What's that?
Was that one day when Rachel and Carlos just like broke out dancing in the middle of the group.
My favorite moment was definitely the editorial meeting, which is kind of like boring. Everyone's saying these funny moments.
Yeah, you know, I have to say that was one of my favorite moments too. I was just so inspired after that meeting.
Okay, so I think my favorite moment from this summer is when we moved into the performance studio and everybody walked in for the first time and there were like glittery, sparkly banners up and everyone was like, oh my gosh, we get banners, we get glitter, this is awesome. And I was really thrilled about that. That was great. We had some good times in that room.
Oh, so my favorite, I have two. My favorite moment was when Maddie told us that water balloon story because I laughed so hard. And my second moment was today when we were in the studio just recording. Had a blast. I'm just sitting here in
reminiscing. Creating memories takes a lot of work and a ton of food.
We've had salsa, Oreos, chips,
taquitos, burritos,
mac and cheese. Fun fact is we've consumed 14 pounds of salsa and 7.5 pounds of chips in the last 6 weeks.
But if you think about it, it's not really that much salsa and chips. I mean, we're like 8 teenagers, 4 of us are guys, and I mean, like, it's 6 weeks. This wow. Information was brought to you by Anne Kane, with the cool last name. I am your host, Rachel Long.
And I'm Amina Ibrahim.
A big thank you to the other Radioactivians, Ian Dongla, Maddie Eubank, Shrikar Pinumaka,
Kendra Hanna, Carlos Nieto, and Isaac Noren, and our amazing and wonderful mentors,
Jenny Asarno
and Lila Katayev,
who have supported us throughout.
But perhaps the biggest thank you to you, the listeners.
This is the final podcast of the summer, but not of forever.
For more stories, check us out at kuow.org/radioactive.
Or on Facebook at Radioactive Youth Media.
Thank you all for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Adios.
Sayonara. Ciao.
Ciao.
Ciao. I feel like I know other languages, but I can't think of any. What would you think if I sang out a tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out. Should we start from the top?
If I were a boy, I don't know the song.
If I were a boy.
Okay, let's do my Bob Dylan impression.
The times, they are a-changing. I don't know how I survive.
We're still arguing about what song is gonna fade.
Boop, boo, doo, doo, doo.
Song off? Oh, wait. Help. I need somebody. Not just anybody. Help. You know I need someone. Help.
When I wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy.
No.